Text this morning is Acts 16:25, just a short text. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Father, I pray, Lord, that we would have a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude. You blessed us in so many ways. Lord, you saved us, you redeemed us, you forgive us of our sins, we have fellowship with you, and Lord, you supply our needs according to your riches and glory. So, Father, I pray, give us a heart of thanksgiving and praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thought about that text. You know, of course, the background, Paul and Silas were preaching, and they were sharing the gospel. They ran across this young girl. She's a slave girl, and she was possessed with a demonic spirit. And so she was fortune-telling, and so men had got her, and they were making money off of her. And so when Paul and Silas came to town, they began to preach, and she began to realize who it was, and says, "These men are the servant of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And she followed them around. And Paul kind of got irritated with her following around and saying all that. And he just turned around and he commanded this spirit to come out of her. And when it did, she lost her ability to fortune tell and tell the future, those kind of things. And so those who were making money off of her got mad. And of course, anytime you mess with a man's money, he's going to be mad with you. And so he came against them. They came against them. And so they said, "Well, these are a bunch of Jews. They're preaching and teaching stuff against the Roman government. We're Romans. They're Jews." And so they stirred up the magistrates, and he had them arrested. He had them beaten. They were thrown into jail, not just jail, but in the inner, we might call it high security, and had them put in chains. And at midnight, they just began to pray and sing. And I thought, my goodness, I would to God I would have that attitude when I was going through difficulties like they wasn't just having a Sunday school party. They were in prison. They had been beaten up. They were not even ministered to after being beaten up. But they praised God and began to sing, and God shook up the place. And you know the story if you read it. The jail door was open, and of course the prison guard was going to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners were going to escape. But they said, "Don't worry about it. We're not going anywhere." And so before that night was over, that jailer and all his household received Christ as their Savior. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved and baptized that very night. Now, but think about what they were going through. Think about how they felt. How in the world, I mean, they didn't know what was going to happen next. They didn't know the doors was going to open. They didn't know the angel was coming. But they had their mind fixed on Jesus Christ. And they were praising and seeing God, I think, because they thought they were worthy to suffer for the Lord, because of their testimony. And so they were praising God, and God just shook up the place. Now, they really saw past their circumstances, and they looked far beyond it. And I think they had a glimpse of glory. I was thinking about it when I was preparing this message. You know, one of my favorite passages to preach on is John 14. It talks about heaven. And I like to describe all the things the Bible tells us about heaven. It's a wonderful place. God revealed a lot to us about the New Jerusalem and what it looks like. And I got to think about that. I said, you know, things kind of get tough down here sometimes. We go through difficult times. But I said, I am going to be walking the streets of gold one day. I'm going to be coming by that crystal river. I'm going to take a stop and take a little drink of that water, that refreshing water. There's nothing on earth like that. And not only that, we're going to see the Son of God. We're going to see him face to face. We're going to be in his presence. The glory of the Lord and the glory of the New Jerusalem, that's our future, folks. And so, man alive, I got a lot to be thankful for. I got a lot to praise God for. I think these men saw past their circumstances, and they had their eyes on Jesus, and they knew there was better things to come. But when we come to times like this, and I've seen it for years and years being in the ministry, that we get a little blue and melancholy around the holidays. Thanksgiving, you know, we're all supposed to be thankful, but sometimes, well, family just didn't get to come this year. Or maybe there was a lost loved one went to be with the Lord this past year, and they're not at the table this year. And so things change. Christmas especially is that way. And part of Christmas is we have this fantasy Santa Claus syndrome that it's supposed to be just like Wonderland. And when it's not, we kind of get disappointed. We kind of feel let down a little bit. And that whole thing is because we're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at the wrong situation. We've kept our eyes off of Jesus, the greatest gift the world's ever known or seen. And we get our mind fixed on that. None of that other stuff really matters because that's all temporary. And even Thanksgiving, you know, we're supposed to be thankful, but, you know, we get off of that. And I'm going to tell you, I've said, I don't like Turkey Day. I don't even like those words. It's not Turkey Day. Turkeys don't appreciate it either, be honest. They're not too thankful. But when we say that, we're leaving out, it's Thanksgiving. It's a day to give thanks to Almighty God. And our nation started off doing that, but we kind of got away from it. Originally, you know, you go all the way back. You remember being in school. We used to celebrate the pilgrims and all that, and we'd, you know, they'd put stuff all around the room with the pilgrims and the turkeys and all that, the Indians. And, the group that came in 1621, most of them, 40% of them died the first year. That winter was so hard. They didn't know how to live in the new year with all these severe winters. They didn't have any support system except the Indians that came along and helped them. And those that didn't die were extremely sick through that first winter, so most of them, or a good bit of them, did not survive the first year in the new year, in the new colony. Now, if it wasn't for the Indians, they probably all would have died. During the Revolutionary War, when we were fighting really the strongest power on the face of earth, England, they had conquered the whole world. They, you know, the sun never set on the British Empire. They were a powerful nation. This little old country here stood up against them and fought. And I tell you, it was really the hand of God that America survived. America became a nation. Benjamin Franklin said, how can a nation rise and God not notice it? God noticed it. God saw it. I think God's had his hand in it. And so during that time, they said we ought to have annual days of thanksgiving. And then in 1775, they appointed a day of thanksgiving for the general welfare of the nation. These people were thanking God. They weren't worried about political correctness. They thought they knew God had spared them and redeemed them and kept them from being under the domination of England. And they said, well, I'll be thankful. 1863, every president since 1863, started with Abraham Lincoln, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving in November, last Thursday in November. And since then, every president since 1863 has done that. And finally, in 1941, Congress made it official. But we've got away from that. It's what do you think about Thanksgiving? Well, we get together to eat. Hopefully, if some of the family comes, we can be with family. A lot of it is a big football day. Nothing wrong with football. I like football. I like sports. A lot of things goes on, and that's the reason sometimes we kind of get a little blue because we really are missing what Thanksgiving was supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about God. It's supposed to be about how God has blessed us and redeemed us and being thankful. He brought us through another year. We're here again. Most of us here last year. We're here again. We're back. And God has brought us through this past year. So I am so thankful for what God has done in my life and done in our lives and our church this past year. And so Paul and Silas saw there was a bigger purpose in life, and that's the reason they could be thankful during a tough situation. We all face tough, different situations at times in our life. I read about this guy named Raymond Berry. Raymond Berry was the head coach of the New England Patriots football team back in 1984 and 89. Probably, I don't remember him. I just read about him. And later he became a coach of the Dallas Cowboys, one of the coaches, and when he was at Dallas Cowboys, he worked with the offense, and he helped them run plays. And so they were having training, and they went to a Lutheran college. You know how a lot of teams would go out to a college somewhere and get in a different place, and they'd go through training. Well, they were doing that in California. So Raymond Berry was going to show them some of the plays that he knew and teach them how to do it because they were having trouble with it. So he runs the plays, and he steps out of bounds when he caught the ball. And so every time he'd run it over and over, and every time he'd do it, he stepped out, and they'd begin to laugh at him. You know, here was the coach supposed to be teaching him, and he steps out of bounds every time. Well, you know, that's incomplete pass. And so finally he said, well, this field's too short. It's too narrow. And they began to laugh at him. But the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, when Raymond Berry was a young boy, he lost most of his eyesight. His eyesight was really bad. He could only see about 30 yards in front of him. That was it. And one leg was shorter than the other leg, so he had trouble running. So they told him, he wanted to play football. They said, you'll never play high school football, but he did, and he was quite successful. Then it said, well, you'll never play college ball, and he did, and he was quite successful. And then it said, you'll never play in the NFL, and he did, and he was very successful, and finally became a coach two different times. And so, but after that practice that day, somebody went and got a measuring tape, and they measured the width of the field, and they found out it was 18 inches too narrow. And what happened with Raymond Berry, because of poor eyesight and one leg shorter than the other, when he would run plays, he would count the steps forward, and then he would count the steps to the right. And then that way he would be in an area where he knew the ball was going to be thrown, and he could see it because it came in his area of vision. And so he was right. The field was too narrow. See, he was looking at the blessings or the accomplishment he could do instead of the problems he had. Sometimes we look so much at the problem, we don't want to do anything. He could have said, well, my leg's too short. I can't do anything. Or I can't see very well. There's no way I catch football. And so he could have looked at all those negatives and not done anything in his life. When I read that, I thought about my dad, and I've mentioned him before. My dad had polio when he was 8 years old. One leg was much shorter than the other. One leg was about half the size of the other, so it was very weak. people would see me. I'd meet them, and they would ask me who my dad was, and I'd tell them. They'd say, oh, well, he's that cripple. I never saw him that way because he never acted like that. In fact, he'd done just about anything he wanted to do. He built houses. He was a master machinist. He worked all the time. He took us hunting and fishing as boys. And only thing I ever saw he couldn't do, he bought a boat and we were skiing, and he wanted to ski. He wanted to water ski. And he tried his best one day to get up. He couldn't get up on those skis because that leg was weak. But other than that, I never saw anything that Dad couldn't do. In fact, his attitude was, if somebody else can do it, I can do it. If they can figure out to do it, I can figure out how to do it. And I grew up with a dad like that. I admired my dad. In fact, when he was way up in age and he had lost about most strength of his legs, and he was one of those little electric wheelchairs, like the things, and he would go down the ramp, take his weed eater, and weed eat in that little ramp. He would go up to his riding lawnmower, and he would slide off of that and get on his lawnmower, and he would mow the yard. And my brother went over one day to check on him, and he was laying on the ground changing the blades under that riding mower. And my brother got onto him, and Dad said, well, I can do it. Don't worry about it. I can do it. So he could have used all those excuses in his life never to do anything. So I grew up with a dad that I admired. He was a disciplined dad. He was a stern dad at times. He meant business. If he said something, you better believe he meant what he said. But he was strong, and I think maybe because of that gave him strength. And, you know, he was like Raymond Berry. He wasn't as famous as Raymond Berry, but he looked beyond his circumstances many times through pain and did what he needed to do anyway. And so I'm thankful for him. And, you know, they lived their lives seeing the possibilities instead of seeing problems in their life. They saw what might be they could do. And that's why I think we ought to have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. You know, people have all kinds of attitudes. Sometimes they got bad attitudes, and you don't really like to be around them. Sometimes they got good attitudes. Some people smile all the time. I like Johnny, but he smiles all the time. And I appreciate him. I wish everybody smiled as much as you did, Johnny. We ought to have an attitude of Thanksgiving time is a time to kind of just reboot and think about how God has blessed us and what God has done. But I might say this morning, have you been blinded by some circumstances you're going through? And it's easy to get blinded. It's easy to look at those circumstances and forget about the power of God and forget about how God has blessed us this year and kept us and met needs in our life. We just need to look at the bigger picture. And I want to kind of give you a little things how to do it. How to have an attitude of gratitude? Well, first of all, we ought to say thank you. Thank you. Thankful for what God has done for us. Sometimes we just don't say thank you to people. I've said many times, you'll hear me as long as I'm here to say it at times, our action precedes our feeling. What we do precedes how we feel. Because you say, well, sometimes I just don't feel thankful. Well, sometimes we don't feel thankful. But when we begin to express that thankfulness, it begins to do something to our heart. It begins to do something to our mind and our emotions. There's an ancient proverb that says, a gift unknowledge is a gift not received. Have you ever gave anybody a wedding gift, a birthday present, maybe a Christmas present, and they never said thank you? They never sent you a note saying, I thank you for the gift, thank you for that wedding gift? And what? How does it make you feel when you do that? You say, well, I gave it to him because I loved him, I appreciated him, but we didn't get it back. You know, Jeff Cleghorn was here a couple Sundays ago and did a great job playing and ministering to us. And, of course, we took him a love offering and gave him. Two or three days later that week, I got a note from Jeff saying, thank you for letting me come to Perham Baptist Church. And thank you for the love offering and how much it blessed him. And, of course, I'd already emailed him and told him how much we appreciated him and thanked him for being there. But, you know, I appreciated Jeff. He didn't waste any time. Right away, he sent a thank you note thanking us for being here. By the way, I got him scheduled for our homecoming next year, so he's coming back next year. So if you missed it, put it on your calendar. And, you know, God is the God on the mountaintop, but he's also the God in the valley. Just because we go through some tough times, God doesn't check out. God doesn't forget us. In fact, oftentimes that's where we see God's hand more. I think maybe because we have to look at him more and trust him more when we're going through those things. And so I say, stay thankful. One of the ways, make a list of things to be thankful for. We'll sing a song in a little bit, count your blessings, name them one by one. That's a financial term. That means add it up, stack it up. Count your blessings, add them up, what God has done for us in our life. And if you start to do that, you'll find out God has been really a blessing in our lives this year and met a lot of needs, brought us through a lot of things as a body of believers in our life. I remember it wasn't too long ago that, you know, people being laid off from work. The country was going through an economic downturn and people didn't have jobs. I read a book years ago. It said, thank God it's Monday. And when I saw that title, I said, well, I got to buy that book. I want to see what it says. And I still got it. It's in my library now. I said, thank God it's Monday. Most of the time we say TGIF, thank God it's Friday, because we're tired of working and we want the weekend. And, you know, at least you can come to church and you can kind of do what you want to on Saturday. So instead of thank God it's Friday, the attitude of being gratitude is, if you need a job, thank God when Monday comes that you got a place to go to work. You got a place to meet needs in your life. You got a place to provide for your family. You got a place to use your skills and your talents. So get up in the morning and say, thank God it's Monday again. And I get to go and do what God has allowed me to do and bless me. And maybe on that job, you can share about the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God it's Monday. Paul says, thank God for everything. Even that job on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the rest of the time. There's been a lot of things goes on in our country that our country ought to be thankful for. We ought to be on our knees. You know, farmers go through droughts. I remember what it was to go through droughts when we farmed. We had several years. It was tough. I know what it is when companies lay off people or have to lay off people. Our country's been through floods and fires and tornadoes and all those kind of things that affect our country. But, you know, I hear people even go through the fires. They say, well, thank God we're alive. We lost our house, but we're alive. We lost our house in the flood, but we're alive. So we focus on the things that God is blessing us and meeting our needs for. And so we need to be thankful. We need to trust God. And really, we don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. We ought to be just thankful every day, because the Bible says the mercies of the Lord are renewed every morning. And we ought to renew our thanksgiving to God every morning and praise him and love him, because he certainly loves us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. When we're going through the valleys, we're going on the mountaintop, it doesn't matter. God is still there. And God still loves us. And when Jesus died for us and saved us, he will never kick us out. He always loves us. We're saved for eternity. And if you're saved, you are going to walk the streets of gold one day. I mean, just think about that. When you get down to press, you say, my Lord, I'm going to walk them streets of gold. These old gravel roads out here, they may be nice, but they got potholes. And those... Heaven is smooth as silk. And we don't have to worry about the water, because it's just absolutely pure and perfect. And for sunshine, the Lord lights the new Jerusalem. The glory of the Lord does all those kind of things. And that's where we're headed, folks. That's our future. Now, it's going to take a while to get there before that new Jerusalem comes down, but we're on our way. And until we get there, Jesus never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always with us. He's always meeting our needs, always watching over us. And so we ought to be thankful, but sometimes it might take a little motivation to get us thankful. Sometimes we have to go through a little bit to really be thankful. I read this story some time ago, years ago actually, about this Texas guy. He was oil guy. He was a billionaire, and he had a real beautiful daughter. And so she had a lot of suitors for several reasons. She was beautiful, and a lot of guys wanted to marry her and get her hand in marriage, And her dad was extremely wealthy, so if they married into the family, they were going to be doing okay too. He'd be looked after. So you kind of see the picture there. And so she had five or six suitors that really, really liked this girl and kept hanging around. And so finally the dad said, okay, we're going to settle this. And so he invited them all out to his ranch. And they came out to the ranch and they had a little cook-off and everything and got to know each other. And he said, well, here is a test. I want to really see which one of you really, really loves my daughter, and I can trust you that you really love my daughter. And they said, good, good, what is it? So he said, let's go around back. They went around back and there was a big old swimming pool. And the thing was filled with alligators. And he lined them up on one end. He says, now, the first guy that loves my daughter enough to dive in this pool and swim through these alligators and make it to the other side, you can have my daughter's hand in marriage. And those guys were standing there kind of in shock. All of a sudden, you hear this splash. One guy's in the water. He's swimming like crazy. He's going through those alligators trying to outrun them. And he makes it to the other side, and he climbs out the other side. And this dad walks. He says, son, I can't believe it. I said, I really believe now you love my daughter. I said, you can have her hand in marriage, you know, welcome to the family. And the guy kind of stood up and was drying off, and the guy said, sir, I'm so thankful I can have your daughter's hand in marriage. I really appreciate that. But he said, I got one question. And he said, well, what's the question? He said, I want to know who pushed me. Sometimes we just need motivation to be thankful, you know. You know, not only should we look beyond the circumstances we're in and see the light of glory and see the Lord Jesus Christ, we all are going to go through things as we live in this world. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be sickness and healings and all kinds of stuff. We're going through it. We live in these tents, these temporary bodies. But like Paul and Silas, we can just look beyond that and keep our eyes on Jesus. And then because of that, begin to say thank you. Because when we begin to say thank you, it does something to our hearts. It really does, our emotions. When you get blue, just begin to express your thanks for what Jesus Christ has done for you, how he's blessed us, how he's looked over us. And then by doing that, we ought to also cause other people to be thankful. Cause other people to be thankful. 2 Corinthians 9:10-11, if you guys should put it up on the screen. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and this Corinthian church has been giving help to other people. It says, while you enrich and everything for all brevity, which causes thanksgiving through God or to God for the administration of this service and supply the needs of the saints, but also abounding through thanksgiving to God. He was saying, as you gave things to help another church, it caused that church to be thankful because you met a need. But at the same time, as they had the need met, they begin to thank God for it. And they begin to thank you for it. So what we do oftentimes to help somebody will cause other people to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's kind of hard to do that sometimes, but, you know, I always appreciate things. And, you know, I was in the ministry, I started in the ministry. It was hard, really, to receive things. I said for a long time, I was so used to giving to the church. When I was in seminary and started preaching in a church and they started paying me, I gave it back every week. Because I was used to giving to the church, not receiving. But after I graduated, I got over that because I had to raise my family. And but I'm thankful. But sometimes it is hard to receive a gift from somebody. But I've learned, don't ever take the blessing away from somebody that wants to do something for you. Because they're getting the blessing just to help and minister to you, and you get the blessing too. That's what Paul was saying to that church. The Corinthian church got a blessing. The church they helped got a blessing. And they all began to thank God for the blessings. And so it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, there's a Salvation Army and the Marines do this Toys for Tots every year. And it's a tremendous thing. They do it all over the country. And they raise thousands of millions probably of toys across the country. But I remember many years ago hearing the Salvation Army captain, whoever he was, in Macon. And I think they had an article in the paper. And he said, all these toys coming in, everything, he said, we do not give these toys to the children. I thought, what? I thought you was taking up toys to give children. He said, we don't give the toys to the children. He said, we give the toys to the parents. He said, because if the children come and get toys from us, they'll look to us as supplying that need. But he said, if I give, let the parents come in and the parents get the toys and give it to the children will look to the parents as supplying the need. We can bless people by meeting needs in their life. We get blessed because people meet needs in our life. And so action precedes the feeling. If you come Thursday, you get up and you're just kind of feeling blue, just start thanking God for something. Start thanking your family for being there. Start hugging on them and loving on them. And you will see that this love begins to well up in your heart. And you'll begin to have an attitude of thanksgiving and praising God for those. Actions precede the feelings. So how to have an attitude of gratitude and be thankful? First of all, we got to look beyond maybe some difficult circumstances and look, it's going to get better. The sun's going to shine again. Roses are going to bloom again. And maybe going through a tough time now, but there's light on the other side. And it's not a train coming down the tunnel either. It's light on the other side. It's Jesus Christ, and he's going to meet our needs and supply our needs. And because of that, we ought to have a thankful heart, thanking God for what God has done for us and is doing for us and is going to do for us. So have a heart of thanksgiving. And then cause other people to be thankful. By doing things for other people and trying to meet needs for other people and ministering to other people, you will come away with a blessing. You might not tell them, but you'll come away. Your heart will be moved. Your heart will be stirred. And I think maybe God does that sometime. When God moves on us, I think it blesses God to help us. But, you know, God wants us to be thankful. Jesus healed 10 leopards one time. You know the story probably. And he healed those 10 leopards, and boy, they were rejoicing because, you know, those leopards couldn't hang out with their family. They couldn't have a Thanksgiving dinner with their family. They couldn't be around their family. They had to be outside the camp. In fact, it was so bad when they walked down the street, they'd have to cross over to the other side, and they would have to shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was terrible. They were cut off and separated, and Jesus healed them. And man, they were so thankful they could go back to their families. They could go to town. They could buy into groceries. They could do all these things. They could go back to a normal life. And only one of those 10 lepers came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus asked the question. He says, where are the nine? Where are the nine? Think about how God has blessed us and how thankful we ought to be and the gratitude we ought to have of what God has done for us. And as we help others, it will cause others to glorify God and to be thankful for God.